A beautiful December night, snow has turned.
Hi everyone, this is Brad Bristow and I'm the lead campus pastor here at Cornerstone Church in Airdrie, and I want to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We believe that the God who spoke so clearly in the pages of Scripture continues to speak to His kids today. So as you listen, I pray that you would be inspired, encouraged, challenged, and your faith would be built. Enjoy the message. As family, we go.
Let them ring, sweet carols of a king. Coming down from His throne above the clouds.
If you have your Bibles with you today, you can turn to the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 9. This week we're beginning our new sermon series, a new sermon series based around Christmas. That's right, it's that time of year, and I'm sure that you were well aware of that as you got ready to leave for church this morning. You woke up and said, it is beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And so we're gonna be exploring Christmas. We're gonna be exploring the themes of Christmas, and specifically what we're gonna be talking about over the next couple of months is the profound impact that Jesus coming to earth, coming to us in the form of a little baby, the profound impact that has on our lives today. The changing of the story, the changing of the narrative that this little baby being born, the change that has in our lives today. And we're going to talk about what Jesus came to bring. That as Jesus came to earth, He didn't just come to be born, and He didn't just come to die. He did those things, but His birth and His death brought with Him certain things. And we're going to be looking at it under the scope of hope, under this idea that as He came, He brought hope to humanity, hope to the world, hope to us for our lives and for our situations. The world at the time when Jesus was born, particularly in Israel, was very dark. The people of Israel were being ruled by an oppressive nation state in Rome. They were being ruled by Rome. And there were no checks and balances for the power. There was rampant abuse of people and rampant abuse by the state of the individual. And it was a difficult time. There had been revolutions led by different people throughout the years where they would try to free themselves, but that never took hold. And Jewish society had become very splintered along the lines of how do we deal with Rome? What's the best thing that we can do to live inside of this state? There were the zealots, the revolutionaries, who believed that violence was the answer, that they needed to have an uprising and a battle with Rome, that God would lead them to victory. There were the Essenes, that they believed in complete withdrawal, that the best way to deal with this is to move out of the cities, move out of the communities, let Rome have the cities, and we'll go start our own sort of like society outside of society. And then there were all points in between of complete violence to complete passiveness and everywhere in between, as people struggled to deal with understanding the world around them. And spiritually as well, things were not good. Preceding the coming of Jesus, and I guess by a couple of months, John the Baptist, we have what we know as the 400 years of silence. That for generations and generations previous, God had always had continually raised up a prophet or a judge or someone to serve in the role of sort of like His paroxion on earth. That He would serve as this person, this man or this woman, would serve as the voice of God in the world. But for the last 400 years, there had been nothing. There had been no prophet. There had been no judge. There had been no voice of God speaking to the people. But then comes this little baby. Then comes this little tiny life, born in extremely unflattering circumstances, seemingly anonymous, unless you were very acutely and keenly aware of the prophecies that were being fulfilled, seemingly obscure, but with this coming of this little tiny baby, everything changed. Into this world of darkness and strife, into this world of anger, fear, and worry, into this politically divided world, into the spiritually famined world, comes this tiny little baby that only a handful of people have had a glimpse at his true purpose and his true identity, but even they can't see totally who and what this baby would become and who and what this baby is. And this baby brings with him so much. He brings with him salvation. He brings with him love. He brings forgiveness, and he brings with him a new destiny for the people of the day and for us today. Into this world of darkness, this baby brings hope. He brings unbound hope. And we're going to be taking a look at our lives and what it means for us that God has brought hope to us, hope to our stories, and hope for our future. Now you see, every year when we come back to Christmas, every year as the calendar cycles back around to here, and I've had this conversation with Pastor Matt a number of times, is that every year as it comes to Christmas, we're compelled to preach about Christmas, and it gets more and more difficult to continually go back to Luke chapter 2 and find something new to say. But when we come back to Christmas, what we discover and what we are brought back to every time we come back to Christmas is we're brought back to God's love for us. For God so loved the world, he sent his Son. And so at this time of year, we come back to, for God sent his Son. But why did God send his Son? Because for God so loved the world. And so here we are at the time of year when we remember and we reflect and we rejoice in the coming of the Lord. And his coming was motivated by one thing: his love for us. And sometimes, and you've heard me talk about this a lot, but sometimes it's hard for us to take the idea of God's love for us and really make it about me. For God so loved the world. Okay, I got you. There's enough stuff worth loving. For God so loved us. Okay, that sounds okay. For God so loved me. This is getting harder and harder for me to really grasp and internalize, but you need to know that God loves us and that God loves you, that he cares for you, that he knows your name, that he has loved you from before you existed. We see this all throughout the Bible. Jeremiah 31:3 will say, "The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, 'I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness.'" Now, how do we know that God loves us? Now, we can read that God says he loves us, but we can say that we love anything. I can say to you with as much sincerity as I can muster, I can look you in the eye and I can say, "I love tomatoes." I don't, but I can say it. I can say without any flinching, "I love tomatoes." I don't. But God doesn't just talk about it. God was about it. His love motivated him to send Jesus, his one and only Son, to this world to become one of us. I can say I love tomatoes, but if you ask me to act on it, you'll catch me in a lie. You say, I say, "I love tomatoes." You say, "Okay, here, eat one." We're now at an impasse. God's love motivated him to send Jesus to this world to become one of us. Although he was God, he became human. Although he was a king, he became a servant. Although he was rich, he became poor. And I'm so thankful today that God didn't just tell us that he loved us. That God just didn't say, you know, guys, I love you. But he literally displayed it in the most amazing action form possible. Because he sent his son to us because he loves us. Because he loves you. In the book of Isaiah, God is talking to this man named Isaiah. That's where the name of the book comes from. And he's showing him pictures and he's showing him visions of the future and different things. And in Isaiah chapter 6, hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus was going to be born, in Isaiah chapter 9, God shows Isaiah something about what the coming of God's Son would look like. And he says this in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. For to us, if you memorize this, you probably know, for unto us a child is born. The first thing that you need to know about the coming of Jesus, the first thing that you need to know is that this act of love, this gift for mankind, that it is a gift for us. God did not send Jesus from heaven for some. God did not send Jesus from heaven for a few selected people, for a few elect people that would have a shot at heaven. The gospel is not good news for a certain tongue, for a certain tribe, for a certain group, for a certain nation. The gospel is not good news for some. But Jesus, the good news of who he is and the good news of his coming, is good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For it's for every tribe, for every tongue, for every nation, for every person. The coming of Jesus is good news for everyone. It's good news for every neighbor that you have. It's good news for every coworker that you have. It's good news for every family member that you have. Sometimes we can think that Jesus came for mankind, he came for people, but the closer it gets to me, the harder it can be to see it. But Jesus came, the Son was sent, the child was born for us. Jesus came for you. Jesus came for your family. Jesus came for your children. Jesus came for the city of Airdrie. For unto us a child is born. For unto us a child is born and a son is given. But what do we know about this gift, this son? What are we going to call him? What is his name going to be? Well, in that verse we read, it says, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, wait a minute. That's not what his name is. That's not what it would say on his birth certificate. Not all of those things. Why is Jesus given all these names? In fact, if you read through the New Testament, Jesus is given over 50 different names and titles. All of our kids, my kids, Yvonne and my kids, have two middle names. Yvonne and I, coincidentally, only have one middle name, but each of our kids have two names. Owen, Jeremiah, William. Heidi, Kathleen, Monica. Theron, David, Dylan. Bristow, for all the last, all their last names are the same. But we didn't give them 50 names. The names of Jesus here are the names, are not his names, but descriptors of who and what he will be. They describe his nature. They describe his character. They describe who he is. They're describing what Jesus brought with him when he came to humanity. And they describe what he brings into your life now. He is wonderful to you. He is a Prince of Peace when you are in torment. He is a Mighty God when you need healing. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the bright and morning star. He is the bread of life. He is the living water. He is the righteousness with healing, or he's the Son of righteousness with healing in his wings. He's the great I am. He's the cornerstone. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Messiah, and he is Christ crucified. He is all of these things. He is so much to us. And yet all of these things are summed up in one name, in the name of Jesus. There's just something about that name. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, we see Jesus talked about like this. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God shows his love for us because he came to be with us. And we can know that God still loves us because he is still Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is still with me. When Jesus said to his disciples, when he said to them, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you, that he would never turn his back on them, he was promising them that he would always be Emmanuel. He would always be God with us. And I'm so thankful that one of the names of God, that one of the names of Jesus is Emmanuel, because that means that God, Jesus, will always be with us. Wherever we go and whatever we face, that means that God will be with you. And so each of these names are personal to you today. What do you need God to be to you today? Jesus will be that for you. If you need peace, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. If you have anxiety, torment, stress, and all you and as you go through all the places life has led you, Jesus will be your Prince of Peace. If you are making a decision and you just don't know what to do, and you're looking at your future and you're looking at all of these things and you just say, I don't know where to go and I don't know what to turn, Jesus will be your counselor. But not only will he be your counselor, he will be your wonderful counselor. And if you need God to work a miracle in your life, if you would say, God, I need you to show up in my life now. God, I need your power at work. It says that he is a mighty God. At Cornerstone Church, we don't limit God to believing that miracles only happened in the Bible. But we steadfastly and firmly believe that God can do miracles and God will do miracles today. Because God is a personal God. God is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And that God is a mighty God. So what do you need him to be for you today? There's just something about that name. And so whatever you need Jesus to be for you today, I would invite you to pray Jesus over that situation. To pray his name into that situation, because contained in the name of Jesus is whatever you would need there to be in your life for whatever you're facing. The name of Jesus is the answer. If you're feeling defeated, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling weak, if you're feeling lost, if you're feeling confused, whatever you are, wherever you are, just pray the name of Jesus today. Now back to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. We missed a part. We missed where it said that the government will be on his shoulders. The government will rest on his shoulders, other versions will say. Now, a phrase like that can have lots of connotations in our world today, especially in the divided, fractured political times that we live in. What does it mean that God has Justin on his shoulders? What does it mean that God has Donald on his shoulders? What does that mean when it says that the government will be on his shoulders? But the word that's used here referring to the people who lead the people. As it talks about the government being on his shoulders, it's not talking about the folks that are in charge of the people. It does include that, but it's not merely just this understanding of like, he will come, and a son is given, and he's going to oversee the government, and then he's going to be all of these other things. The word that's used here means rule or dominion. And so, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his rule and his dominion will be now what takes place. Not somehow that he'll just oversee the government, that somehow it'll be rested on him, but that his rule, his dominion, his government is now going to be what takes place. What this verse is really saying is that when this son comes, everything changes and everything becomes different. The way that the world works, the way that you understand the functioning of the world, when this child comes into the world, everything about the way that the world works is going to change. And it was going to be on him. It was going to rest on him. This new way that the world works was going to rest upon Jesus' shoulders. The new way that the world works is going to be on him. It's going to be because of him. It's going to be through him that the functioning of the world was now going to change. It's not ours, it's not yours, it's his rule and his dominion. And so what is this referring to? What does this mean? It's talking about the difference between the law and grace. It's talking about the way that our eternity functions. It's talking about the way that our relationship with God functions, the old way and the new way. In the old way the world worked, in the old way the government worked, the government of our eternal lives, the way things worked is that it was on you. You better perform. You better make it happen. You better work. You better bring that sacrifice on the right day at the right time to atone for your sins and the sins of your family. The weight and the burden was on you. But when Jesus showed up, the old way of doing things, the old government, the old way of our world, there changed and there was a new way of doing things, a new rule and a new dominion. The weight was lifted off of your shoulders and it was placed on his shoulders. The government will be on his shoulders. We have been freed by grace. We are now under a new government. His shoulders can carry what yours can't. His shoulders can carry the things that ours can't. That's why the new way of the new world will be placed upon his shoulders, because he can do what we cannot. 1 Peter 5:7 will tell us this. I can't quite see the second word there. Can you help me out with this? Cast. Sorry? Cast. Sorry? All. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Jesus says today, get the stuff off your shoulders. The stuff that you're carrying that you cannot hold, the stuff that's weighing you down, the things that you cannot handle yourself. Take all of your anxiety, all of your cares, your worries, all of the things that you would say, I am getting so tired of carrying this around. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Because his shoulders can carry things that ours can't. Jesus says to us today, get that stuff off your shoulders and put it on mine. I'm going to invite the worship team to come and join me on stage. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Love drove him to do this. Love caused him to give up his child. to give us His Son, that He would change everything, and we would see Jesus, we would have this new relationship with God where whatever we needed and whatever we faced, God, Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, because Jesus will be for us whatever we need Him to be in our lives. Because God loves us. Because God's love for us is so great that He didn't just say it, but He showed it. He sent His Son as the greatest act of love that anyone can imagine. And this is what gives us our unbound hope for our lives, for our families, for our community, for our world. That the love of God can change things for us. That the love of God will change things for us. That whatever we have in our life right now, whatever we're facing in our lives right now, we can have hope. Because there's something about the name of Jesus. There's something about the presence of Jesus in our lives that allows us to have hope. For unto us a child is born. He was born in a manger, but He is a king. He was born in a stable, but He is the Messiah. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the great I am. This is who He was. This is who He is with us today, because His name is Emmanuel. His name is God with us. And that, my friends, is the hope that Jesus brings.
You took all my worry.
Thank you so much for listening today. We pray that you were challenged and encouraged from our message today. If you would like to speak to a member of our pastoral team at Cornerstone Airdrie, you can go to our website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com, click on the Airdrie tab, and then on the About section, click on Our Staff, and we'd love to hear from you. Make sure to connect with us on social media, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie, and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram, at CS Airdrie on Twitter, and at Cornerstone Airdrie on Instagram. If you enjoyed the podcast today, be sure to subscribe and get new content delivered right to your device through iTunes. And if you're able to, we would really appreciate it if you could rate and review us on iTunes. I know that sounds like an odd request, but the more that people do that, the easier iTunes makes it for others to find us. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family we go.
Come through.